business meeting 2 weeks from today. So all of you who are members, please make note of that. It will be immediately following the worship service that day in the Fellowship Hall. Our annual business meeting, February 20th, that's coming up in 2 weeks. I want to welcome those who are visiting with us. It's nice to see all of your faces here in the sanctuary. We welcome those who are joining us online and also in the Fellowship Hall. We're glad for this opportunity to worship the Lord together. We hope that you'll feel right at home here with us at First Baptist Church. We have a special little treat. The children are going to come, and you know, we're in this series called Building on the Firm Foundation of God's Word, and there's a little children's song called The Wise Man Built His House Upon the Rock. Thank you, Tony. And so Tony and Sandra are going to help lead the congregation. The children are also going to do it here in the front. And we'd like for you to follow along, including with the motions that you're going to learn. And we'll just have fun doing this right now.
Hi, good morning. So,
I think there's a sermon in there somewhere. I feel it coming on. All right. Thank you, Connie and the children, and Tony and Sander, Crystal. We thank Ron for his special music, and we're grateful to each of you for joining us this morning. As I mentioned, we're in a series right now, Building on the Firm Foundation of God's Word. And today's message is Build by Trusting Its Scientific Accuracy. Our text this morning, there are two of them, one in the Old Testament, one in the New Testament. 2 Timothy 3:16 says, "All Scripture is God-breathed." And then the psalmist writes, "All of your commands can be trusted." I had a few more statistics that I wanted to share with you. We shared a few last week, but let me share a few more with you this week regarding God's Word. According to a Gallup poll, only 59% of Americans read the Bible occasionally. That's 59%. A Tyndale House survey showed that 64% of Americans said they do not read the Bible because they are too busy. And another survey, or actually that same survey, revealed that 80% of Americans said the Bible is too confusing and hard to understand. And then here's another interesting quote, this by George Gallup. He says, It seems we revere the Bible, but we don't read it. And how sad that is. Especially when so many people say they believe it is the Word of God or is inspired by God's Word. Well, this morning we're asking the question, can you trust the Bible? Is the Bible trustworthy? Is it really the Word of God? And I would propose to you this morning that the answer is emphatically yes. And there are indeed seven reasons why the Bible is trustworthy. The first, and we talked about this last week, is that the Bible is historically accurate. You can trust the Bible because it is historically accurate. And today we're going to be looking at the next reason, the second reason you can trust the Bible as God's Word, and that is because it is scientifically accurate. Now, there is a lot of misunderstanding about science and the Bible and how they relate to one another. People who think the Bible is scientifically inaccurate have either never studied the Bible and or they probably don't know much about science. Because the truth is, God set up the laws of science. And he certainly made sure that his word does not contradict them. Now, let me state something that should be obvious, but nevertheless I think needs to be said. The Bible was not given to us as a scientific textbook. You don't study the Bible to build a rocket. Furthermore, because the Bible isn't a science book, it doesn't use scientific language. But the Bible never, ever gives bad science. Not once in the over 1,600 years in which this book, the Bible, was written, does it give bad science. In fact, it has always been ahead of science. And we're going to talk about that in just a few minutes. Did you know that there are things in the Bible that the Bible said was true that science didn't discover until hundreds of years later? Johannes Kepler, the famous mathematician and astronomer, said, "Science is simply thinking God's thoughts after him." Science is simply thinking God's thoughts after him. In other words, God established the laws of physics, and then we discover them. God established the laws of biology, and then we discovered them. God established the laws of mathematics, and then we discover them. The reason the Bible is accurate is because the laws of the universe were invented and established by God. So he obviously understands them even when we don't and when we didn't. For thousands of years, we, scientists, have misunderstood things about science. One thing about truth is that it never changes. Truth never changes. One thing about science is that it is constantly changing. And I think we've witnessed that in just the past 2 years. Things that the scientific experts initially thought were true about the coronavirus were discovered not to be true later. You see, science is constantly evolving. In fact, there is nothing more worthless than an obsolete science book. I can guarantee you that the science book that you had in the third grade is not being used in the third grade today. A lot of things in that book are no longer believed to be true. Things that we believed or thought to be true 50 years ago, we now know more about it. And that's especially true in medical science, when it comes to medical science. I mean, think about it. How many articles have you read that have said that something believed to be good science or good for you now causes cancer or is not good for you? Or stuff they said that was fine, for instance, for a pregnant woman to take 10 years ago, and now they say it's not fine. I mean, look at this advertisement here, and I know it's hard for you to see the words, so let me share them with you. This advertisement for Winston cigarettes says, "Taste isn't the only reason I smoke." And that's coming from that obviously pregnant woman there. "Taste isn't the only reason I smoke. People are always telling me that smoking causes low birth weight. Talk about a win-win. An easy labor, a slim baby, and the full flavor of Winston." And then down in the left-hand corner it says, "Winston, when you are smoking for two." Can you believe that? So there's an example of how science is constantly changing. By the way, if you've ever been to Paris, you probably visited the Louvre. Is that how you say that? That. My French is not very good. Thank you, Kelsey, for helping me out there. It's probably one of the most famous museums in the world. There's also a world-class library that is also part of it. And in that library, there's one section that has 3.5 miles of obsolete science books. 3.5 miles of obsolete science books. Because stuff thought to be scientific fact 1,500 years ago was disproven 1,000 years later. And what we thought was good science 1,000 years ago has been disproven 750 years ago. And what we thought was good science 25 years ago was disproven 10 years ago. If you had been reading the Bible 1,000 years ago, or 700 years ago, or 500 years ago, what the Bible said would not have matched some of the science of that day, because some of the science wasn't up to date. But don't worry, God understands stuff even when we don't. And His rules don't change. His truth doesn't change. The Bible says in Psalm 148, "Let every created thing," that's the whole universe, "give praise to the Lord, for He issued His command." In other words, God set rules in motion, the laws of thermodynamics, for instance, the laws of physics, and they came into being. He established them forever and ever, and his orders will never be revoked. The second law of thermodynamics doesn't work one day and not the next. It always works because it was established by God and is and was and will always be true, because truth does not change. In 1861, there was a very famous book that came out. It was called 51 Inconvertible Proofs That the Bible Is Scientifically Inaccurate. It was, as I said, a very famous book. There were apparently 51 scientific facts in 1861 that were not consistent with what the Bible said, that the Bible did not agree with. And so the conclusion by some was that the Bible must be wrong. The Bible must not be scientifically accurate. And I can't think about how sad that was, that there may have been Christians back in 1861 who would have had their faith in God's word shaken by that book. Because today, all these years later, you can't find a single scientist on the planet who would agree with any one of those, quote, inconvertible facts. They have all been subsequently disproven by science. So let me say it again. Science may change, but truth does not change. I think one of the most exciting proofs that the Bible is not man-made is by what's not in the Bible. Because you see, if the Bible were a human book, you would expect it to be filled with at least some of the scientific facts that were prevalent at the time the Bible was being written, all those 1600 years in which the Bible was being written. But they're not there. For instance, for thousands of years, people believed that the earth was flat. So you would expect the Bible to say something to that effect, that the earth is flat. Because some of the Bible was being written during those years. But not a single verse in the Bible says the earth is flat or even alludes to it. It's just not there. In fact, it says the exact opposite. 2,000 years ago, Isaiah, the prophet Isaiah, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, wrote words that were God-breathed, saying, God is enthroned above the sphere on the earth. So 2,600 years ago, the Bible essentially says that the earth is round, that the earth is a globe, long before anyone else knew it. When that was written, nobody believed it. So how did Isaiah know that? Well, his words were God breathed. God said it, and it was true, whether anyone else believed it at the time or not. Another example, for thousands of years, people believed the earth had to be held up by something. And depending on the culture that you were in, there were different beliefs on what held it up. For instance, in the Greek culture, it was believed that the world was held up by a giant whose name was Atlas. Now, we know who Atlas is. We're familiar with Greek mythology. When the Bible was being written, it was common knowledge that Atlas held up the world. And part of the Bible was written in the Greek language, and yet Atlas isn't in the Bible. Why? Because it's not true. But you would expect that during that time, it would have somehow found its way into the Bible. But it's not there. The Bible tells us that Moses was schooled in all the wisdom of the ancient Egyptians because Moses was adopted as the son of Pharaoh's daughter. And because of that, he went to the best schools in ancient Egypt and was taught what was the prevailing science of that day. And by the way, the Egyptians were flat out brilliant. They built the pyramids. They were masters at architecture and engineering, at astronomy. But the ancient Egyptians were dead wrong on what held up the earth, because ancient Egypt also believed that the earth was held up by something, and they believed it was by five pillars. Moses was schooled in that science. He would have known that because he went to the best schools in Egypt. Yet not once in Scripture do you find reference to that, that the earth is held up by five pillars. Why? Because it's not true. So it didn't make it into the Bible. But the prevailing science of that day didn't infiltrate the Bible. In fact, the oldest known writing of man is likely the book of Job. It's the oldest literature in existence today that we know about. Job was the first book written in the Bible. And by the way, the books of the Bible, as most of you know, are not in chronological order. Job is the oldest book, the oldest known literature in the human race. And in Job, it says, God stretches the sky over empty space and hangs the earth on nothing. Now, who told Job that? How did Job know that? Everybody in Job's day knew that the earth was flat and it was being held up by something. So why is it some reference to that in Scripture? And I would propose to you it's because the Bible is God-breathed, and God always tells the truth. It is sheer nonsense to say that the Bible is scientifically inaccurate. That means you just don't know the Bible. For instance, for years it was the accepted science that there were about 1,000 stars in the universe, and they could be counted. And it was believed that the number of stars were finite. In fact, 150 years BC, a man named Hipparchus, counted them, and he wrote a very famous dissertation saying that there were 1,022 stars in the universe. 1,022 stars in the universe. And it was accepted for a long, long time by everybody that there were only 1,022 stars in the universe. But it doesn't say that in the Bible. 300 years later, 150 years AD, a guy named Ptolemy counts the stars, and he says, and this is big news at the time, that Hipparchus is a nut. He says, there aren't 1,022 stars, there are 1,026 stars. He found four more stars in the universe. And again, it was widely accepted as scientific fact that there were 1,026 stars. For many, many years, it was believed that that was true. Today, it is widely accepted that there are more stars than can be counted. It is widely accepted that there are more stars in the universe than there are grains of sand on Earth. And in fact, they cannot be counted. They are infinite. But when the Bible was being written, everybody accepted that there were 1,026 stars. 2,600 years ago, the prophet Jeremiah wrote, "The number of stars are infinite." That's amazing to me. Jeremiah knew under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit what people didn't discover and come to realize was scientifically true until thousands of years later. Jeremiah wrote, "The number of stars are infinite." Science eventually caught up to what the Bible already knew. The prevailing ideas in biology and chemistry and medicine are nowhere to be found in Scripture. And I would propose to you that if the Bible was written by human authors, you would expect that. But it's not there. For many years, people believed that too much blood in your body made you sick. And for thousands of years, it was the accepted science or the accepted custom to do what was called bloodletting. Doctors would cut a sick person and bleed them, thinking that was going to make them healthy. Doctors thought that you had to drain blood to get the bad stuff out. Well, today we know that you give people blood when they're sick because blood is our life source. The best science all of those years didn't know that, but the Bible knew it. In Leviticus chapter 17, thousands of years ago, it said the life of every creature is in its blood. How did Moses know that? God. During the Middle Ages, there was this thing called the bubonic plague. The bubonic plague killed 1/4 of Europe's population. 1 out of every 4 people died because they didn't understand germs and infection. They didn't understand quarantining people. So in hospitals, they had sick people with the bubonic plague sleeping right next to people who didn't have the bubonic plague, but ended up getting it, and it became an epidemic and then a pandemic. They should have read the Bible, because thousands of years before the bubonic plague God said, put an infected person in quarantine for 7 days. And that too was found in Leviticus in the Old Testament. That was about 1,000 years before we even knew about germs and what they were. But God knew. God knew all about germs. You see, when the Bible has been perceived not to be true, it has been because science had not yet caught up to the Bible. Solomon said, every word of God is flawless. My words are not flawless. Your words are not flawless. But the psalmist agrees with Solomon. Every word of the Lord is flawless, like silver refined in a furnace of clay and purified 7 times. How do we know we can trust the Bible? We know we can trust the Bible because it is historically accurate and it is scientifically accurate. And next week I'll be sharing with you, or actually in 2 weeks, I'll be sharing with you that you can trust the Bible because it is also prophetically accurate and because of its thematic unity. That's coming up in a couple of weeks. But right now, let's stand and sing our closing song. I say closing song. We are going to be sharing together in communion, and we will be having a time for prayer here in just a moment. But let's stand together and sing our closing song, God Has Spoken by His Prophets. Now, we're not going to be real familiar with the tune of this. As a matter of fact, I don't know if our congregation has ever sung this hymn. But I want you to pay particular attention to the words. That's what's so wonderful about the hymn book. As a matter of fact, there have been theologians that have said, next to the Bible, the most important book in Christianity is the hymn book, because it is so rich with the Word of God. And that's certainly true of this hymn. God has spoken by His prophets.